Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone who made it a point this morning to come out to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the presence of all who are here. We hope that some things will be said this morning that will be edifying and uplifting to you. The message I'm going to bring to you is one that I bought before. I was asked for an encore of this particular lesson. Before we get started, real quick, I want to say a few things about the thing I tried to draw on the board here. It's hard to believe that I make a living as an artist looking at this, but people have seen me use this illustration before about getting to heaven and how it's kind of a rocky road through the mountains, and this is actually something I came across this morning that it's an illustration that someone else had done, and it's talking about answers, and everybody comes to a point where they're looking for answers. Some people, or most people, as you can see by the many people on this road, look for the simple answer, but often the simple answer is wrong. Most of the time the simple answer is wrong. The complex answer is often right, and this is actually supposed to be a bookshelf, and these few people that are on the right path have books in their hands. So kind of keep this in mind as we go through a lesson this morning. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. We'll begin reading there with verse 1. There is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This morning we're going to talk about the question that Nicodemus asked here, how can a man be born again? Before we continue with our lesson, though, this morning, we have a very important opportunity and privilege at this time to go into God in a word of prayer, to make our wants and petitions known unto Him, and offer thanksgiving for all the blessings that He has so bountifully bestowed upon us. So at this time, let us humble ourselves in some manner and give our full attention to the brother that's been selected as he goes to God on our behalf in a word of prayer. Think about the illustration that we have on the board here. This is something that was kind of just done up to describe how people, few people really want to take the time to really find out different things. And we can take this and we can change a few things on our thing, on our illustration here to kind of give the idea that we're talking about this morning. We think about it, each and every one of us that's here that's a Christian, at one time or another, we came to this crossroad where we were confronted with the idea of whether or not we wanted to go to heaven. And we realized that Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew described two different paths that we can take as human beings here upon the earth. He said that there was a wide way that led to destruction and there was a straight and narrow way that led to heaven. And if you decide not to go this way, you're going this way. You're going to be drug along with the crowd whether you really want to or not. But there's really only two different directions that we can take. In our illustration here this morning, this says the complex way is complex but right. We realize that we take what the Bible says for what is given to us. We realize that it's really not complex at all, but it's simple. We also realize that the world likes to complicate and confound things and come up with their own doctrines to the point where people can't really understand or figure out for themselves what it is that God expects of them, and they make things harder than they need to be. So what we want to point out this morning is that this way is really simple, and it's only by using a book, the Bible, that we can really determine how we can get to heaven. Now, Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born again. And Jesus described baptism to him, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Most of the time we come either to a congregation to hear a lesson on Sunday morning or various gospel meetings, the idea is really driven home that there's only one form of baptism that God accepts. Yet in the New Testament, we're going to find that there's three different kinds of baptism described. There's a baptism of repentance. There's a baptism of fire or the Holy Spirit. And then there's a baptism for remission of sins. And so what I'm going to endeavor to try to do this morning is to make this understandable for all of us, so that when we talk to other people about what it means to be a Christian and what how important baptism is and the importance of that component of being a Christian, hopefully some things can be said today that will help us to fully understand what all of this means. The first baptism that we're going to talk about, the baptism of repentance, is also known as the baptism of John. John the Baptist we see in Luke chapter 1, where Luke there begins to describe the promise that was made in the Old Testament of the coming of both John the Baptist and Jesus. 30 years before Jesus would begin his mission here upon the earth, the Jews were aware of all these prophecies that had been made in the Old Testament. We've gone over this before, and it bears some repeating here, that everything that transpired in the life of Jesus unfolded exactly the way the Old Testament said it was going to happen. There were many different things that happened in Jesus' life and in his death and resurrection that were foretold in the Old Testament, and anybody with any kind of grip on what the Old Testament taught should have recognized all these things, and yet their eyes were blinded because most of the Jews were looking for a earthly king to come and establish Israel as a powerful nation here upon the earth, and they didn't realize or accept that Jesus came talking about a spiritual kingdom, one that would exist forever. I'd like now to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This passage of Scripture shows that John's baptism was a temporary situation, and he never claimed it was anything but that. He said that at that time he was baptizing people for repentance. He was preparing them for the coming of the Messiah that had been promised to them. And so when Jesus came, he recognized Jesus for who he was, And he realized that he needed Jesus more than Jesus needed him. And that's something that we all should look at our own lives today and realize that we're in the same situation, that we need God in our lives. We need his blessing and his protection and his love. And we can go through life rejecting that, but this is the path that we're going to be on if we decide to do those things. There was confusion amongst the followers of both Jesus and John about what exactly was going on and about the different prominence that one or the other had. We can read about this beginning in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do and you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what ye went out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, amongst them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here we see something that some people might try to say conflicts with what the Bible teaches, where John was asked by some of his followers if Jesus was really the Messiah that had been promised, and John sent these people back to Jesus to talk to him. And we can ask ourselves whether John sent them for his own benefit or for their benefit. And what we find out when we look at other scriptures is that he sent his followers to Jesus to convince them that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Messiah that had been promised. Because even though John was doing all this baptizing for repentance, John didn't have the miraculous power to heal people. He was simply preaching the word of God, preparing the Jews for the coming of the Messiah. I'd like now to turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 3. We read our text from there, but we're going to skip down to verse 22 and begin reading from there. John 3:20, beginning in verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's clear from this passage of Scripture that John the Baptist understood that he had a very important mission at a specific time and place in the world. He also realized that as Jesus began to teach, that his message had to be diminished. He had to kind of take a step back, so to speak, and let Jesus shine as the one whom God had sent. And some of John's followers didn't really understand this, and we're going to see later on where even after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, there were still disciples of John long after he had been beheaded that were still going about carrying forth his message of the idea of baptism for repentance. And so John's teachings didn't exactly die with him. There were those who carried on his work, and we'll see that it did cause some confusion within the early church. But once Jesus was revealed as the Son of God, we realized that John did have to step back, and that his work, for the most part, had been accomplished, and he had done the thing that God had intended for him to do. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Elias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, in both of these passages of Scripture, it says that John's was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That word for, and this is where we have to be very careful when we study the Bible and look at it, because sometimes it's little words like that can make a big difference in what it really is saying. The Greek word for comes from eis, and what it means is, or it could be more correctly translated as, with a view to or towards. In other words, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance towards or pointing to the remission of sins. The baptism that John was doing, even though it was an immersion baptism, again, the idea was that it was repentance preparing for the coming of the Messiah. It did not erase anyone's sins at that time, because Jesus had not yet been crucified and resurrected. The Jews were still under the old law. They were still required to make the sacrifices that they had to go down to the temple to make for their sins and the various transgressions that they caused. And so we can see where some might be confused about these past two passages that we read, but we need to realize again that word for means towards, or it doesn't mean they're together. It means one points towards the other. I'd like now to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Here again, it's important for us to understand and realize that Jesus himself, although it says he did not personally baptize people, that the apostles were baptizing people, again, with this same repentance of John. The main thrust of the teaching of Jesus was to convince the Jews that that he was the Messiah that had been promised, that God was going to establish a new covenant with man, that the old laws in the Old Testament were no longer going to be the way that God was going to deal with mankind, but that a new covenant was going to be established. And that's why they went out and tried to teach all these things and to try to show the Jews. If you think about the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things that Jesus really tried to do there, it's often called in today's terminology like a mission statement or an idea. He was really trying to show the Jews, it's like, hey, things are not going to be the way they used to be. He said it used to be, you know, hate your enemy, but now you're going to love your enemy. And so he was really trying to show the people that things needed to turn around, and that in order to get to heaven, it was no longer going to be that you were born, if you were born into the race of the Jews, that was going to be your only way to get to heaven. there was going to be a new plan, and a new covenant was going to be established. As we said, from these verses, we see that the apostles were also baptizing the Jews. It was only the Jews in preparation for the coming of the kingdom of God. We realize that John eventually was imprisoned by Herod and beheaded for the things that he said about Herod and his relationship with his brother's wife. John was beheaded. Jesus eventually would be crucified and resurrected. And we realize that these events lead to the next form of baptism we're going to talk about. Beginning in that, and our first reading on that's going to be in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Excuse me. For it is written in the book of Psalms, "Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Therefore, these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John into that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and a lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Here we see that this is a situation that takes place after Jesus has ascended into heaven. The apostles are in Jerusalem. They're waiting for the Comforter that Jesus had promised to them. They kind of take it upon themselves to pick a replacement for Judas. As we know, Judas betrayed Jesus, and when he realized what he had done, he went out and hung himself. And now the other apostles feel like they need to replace him, so their number is back up to 12. And one of the things that Peter says here is that to be an apostle, one had to be a witness of Jesus' ministry from the time that he was baptized. From this, we can necessarily infer that the apostles were present when John went down when Jesus went down to John in the Jordan and was baptized of him. We also should point out, it's something I should have mentioned earlier, when Jesus went down to be baptized of John, Jesus did not have any sin. He did not have to be baptized for remission of sins because he didn't have any sin. He was doing the same thing everyone else was to show forth, again, this idea of being prepared for the coming of the Messiah. I'd like now to read from Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "The former trustees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye that have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." At this time, as Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, we see that he confirms that the apostles are going to receive a special gift, the gift of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And John talked about that they were going to be baptized with fire and the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the apostles when he said that. As we mentioned earlier in Acts, the apostles were present when Jesus was baptized, and they were going to receive a special one-time application of this idea of being baptized with fire. We can read about that in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pelinia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And of my servants and of my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the only case that we see in the New Testament where anyone was baptized with the Holy Spirit. The apostles were gathered in the upper room. They were waiting for the Comforter that Jesus had promised. The Holy Spirit descended on them as tongues of fire. We do realize that others received the gift of the Holy Spirit either by the direct laying on of the hands of the apostles, which was most cases, or in the case of Paul, we realize that Jesus gave him spiritual gifts that other people did not have. But we realize that this, again, was a situation that was only temporary. We don't find any other place in the Scriptures where anyone in the New Testament was baptized by the fire or the Holy Spirit. And we realize that this was something that the apostles were in a unique situation. And they would then go on, as we're going to read now, to begin to teach people the only way that they had a chance of obtaining heaven. We'll continue reading in Acts. We're going to chapter 2, beginning of verse 32. This Jesus hath raised up whereof ye are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here we see that those who repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit, were forgiven of their sins. And this was the beginning of the church. Jesus had shed his blood, and baptism became the way that we come in contact with that blood. And this was what the apostles established, and this is the only kind of baptism we see that can get us into heaven. Based on Peter's remarks in Acts 2 and 14, it was the 12 apostles on whom the baptism of the Holy Spirit bestowed, and they were the ones who began to baptize the 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost, and this was the beginning of the church. I'd like now to turn to Acts 22 and begin reading there with verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicily, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, and ye all are, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Whom art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came to me, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We look at the apostles, the men that had traveled in, with Jesus and been his friends and companions during his ministry. We saw that the Holy Spirit descended on them as tongues of fire. Now we see another man that Jesus has chosen, one that he's picked to be not only a spokesman to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And we realize that Jesus didn't send the Holy Spirit as a tongue of fire on Paul, but that Paul had to do the same thing that each and every one of us had to do to show our love and devotion to God and our willingness to accept Him, accept Jesus as our Savior, was He had to be baptized. In another place, the Scriptures tell us that after He was struck blind, that He prayed for 3 days. So we can see that in the world today, we can't just pray to God and expect to be saved and expect to receive a home in heaven. There is a very specific plan in mind, and that's the plan that we have to follow if we want to receive the benefit of that. I'd like now to go backwards in Acts to chapter 10 and begin reading in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. This is when Peter went down to the house of Cornelius. There's a prophecy in Daniel that says it talks about a prophetic week, which is 7 years. In the middle of that 7 years, it says sacrifice and oblation will cease. The Jews continued to offer sacrifices after Jesus died until 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple and everything in Jerusalem, and forever erased the Jews' ability to worship God under the Old Testament. The 3.5 years later, something else had to happen to fulfill that prophecy, and we realize that this is a time that, because after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, and after the day of Pentecost when the church was established, the apostles were only still going to the Jews. They weren't converting Gentiles or anybody that wasn't a Jew. They were trying to still convert solely Jews to Christianity. And here Peter goes down to this house of this Roman soldier, and he realizes that God's going to accept the Gentiles and all people and not only the Jews. And so when they received the gift of the Holy Spirit to show, again, this was a sign in the early church, to show God's authority and power, Peter said, "Why? You know, what's going to keep us from baptizing them? Because it's obvious that God is going to accept them as well." And so then it was established that all men could become children of God through baptism. We're out of time this morning. A couple of things, other things I was going to talk about. In Acts 18, verse 24 through 28, there was a man named Apollos who was going about teaching about Jesus, but he only knew the baptism of John. There's another place in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7, where Peter encountered some men who, after the church was established, there were still people out teaching about the baptism of John, and these people were corrected as well and were told that they had to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins, not for repentance, but for remission. So hopefully today we've been able to point out in the time that we've had that baptism is important. It's the only way that we can get on this road to heaven. And it's something that the world has all different kinds of ideas. Some say baptism isn't necessary, that it's just a formality. But we realize that baptism is vital. It's the only way that we come in contact with the blood of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And he's the only one who can save us from our sins and give us a chance of going to heaven. Anytime we get together to study the Word of God, we offer an opportunity for everyone that's here to hear the Word of God. If you believe the things that you've heard, you pick up the Bible, you read it and study it, you're convinced in your heart and mind that it's the truth, it should cause within you a repentance, a realization that there are things in your life, and we've all experienced this, that we shouldn't be doing, things that we need to be correct in order to please God. If we haven't become a child of God, we can then confess that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we can be baptized. We can come into contact with the sin, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, and our sins will be forgiven, and then we can begin a road to heaven. We realize sometimes we get on this road, and family and friends that aren't Christians try to drag us down along with the crowd and drag us into destruction. They may not mean to do it, but it will happen if we're not doing what God expects us to do. So if we ever find ourselves being drugged the wrong way, we realize that we can confess our sins one to another and pray one for another, and that when prayer is offered, we can restore ourselves to a right state with God, and we can continue to do the best that we can to live a life that will gain us a home in heaven. There be one who desires service of the church. Won't you come while we stand and sing?